Afterward, to Section 34. 10 years after the invasion of Iraq, the headline in the New York Times, "Suicide Bombers Kill 37 at Shiite Mosque in Baghdad," no longer shocked my conscience, even though I had traveled to Baghdad just weeks before on a cultural diplomacy mission. I have friends in the city, projects to complete there, and yet I did not read the story until I learned from a diplomat that the mosque was located next to a university in which I had lectured. Then the attack acquired a personal dimension. The students and professors assembling for midday prayers, the guards killed at the security checkpoint. Some of the dead or wounded worshippers might have attended my lecture, asked questions, posed for photographs. I remembered the head of my security detail pulling me aside before we entered the auditorium to warn that tensions were running high on campus. At his signal, I was to leave the stage without delay. Nothing happened, only a lively exchange of ideas about writing and American literature, with an emphasis on Walt Whitman, which in a war-torn city was perhaps remarkable, as are true exchanges everywhere, at any time. Whitman wisely varies the pace in this section, juxtaposing the longest catalog in the poem with the tale of the murder of hundreds of Texas Rangers, a gruesome labor carried out on a beautiful summer morning. He mourns their youth, highlights their heroism in the face of betrayal, spares no gory detail of the massacre. His lament is not for the dead at the Battle of the Alamo, which changed the course of the Texas Revolution, but for the bearded men, large and generous and dressed in the free costume of hunters, whom history might otherwise forget. He takes their deaths personally. Their bodies will not stop burning as long as his poem is read. Humankind cannot bear very much reality, T.S. Eliot observed in Four Quartets, the publication of which, in 1944, helped readers cope with the stress of war. Whitman also teaches us how to bear more reality. Confronted with reports from battlefields around the world, not to mention an endless stream of news of heinous crimes, political scandals, and examples of human depravity, we may wish to turn away. This is a luxury that Whitman insists we cannot afford.